Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Nationals For You podcast, the official podcast for the NationalsReview.com. My name is Colm, and it is Thursday, April the 25th, 2013, and this is episode 18. And I can't do this podcast alone. I need the heart and soul of the Nationals Review. So here he is, no other than Mr. Charles.
Hello, Mr. Colm.
Hello.
How are you doing? This
you know, I was
fine
about to answer
evening.
That before you asked me, and that would have made no sense at all.
I guess you already know what I'm going to say. We've done this podcast enough.
I know, but we haven't been there in a while. I want to say thank you for everyone for waiting for the podcast. I came down with this first my son came down with this sickness that then went to me and then my wife and
the whole family.
The whole family got it, but I'm back. I'm strong. And during the whole thing, and I must say, the night that long story short, we had to take our son to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. But getting us through that episode at the hospital was watching the Nationals in the hospital room, and it was the only thing that helped us get through that terrible moment.
I had a similar story last year when we took our daughter to the hospital for something that, you know, she was sick and she was fine after she went, but right. Sat there and watched, you know, you're just sitting there for hours.
And you know what? The best part is that I knew everything was going to be fine when I saw Bryce Harper hit a dinger.
And he made your son feel better.
Yeah, he seems to just do that a lot. I don't know what that's about, but that's what
he's to do. He's pretty good at that.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So before we start, what are you drinking anything special for tonight?
I am drinking maybe my new favorite beer, Cole.
Really?
Oh, it's Lagunitas, or Lagunitas, I believe it's pronounced, but it's spelled Lagunitas. Right. Little something something ale.
I have had that, and it is an excellent beverage.
It is amazing.
Yeah. One of my Disney fans on Twitter was someone who caught me to that brand, and it's pretty popular, and it's gaining popularity.
I've never had it before, this brand, other than this beer, and a mutual friend of ours, Carter. Mm-hmm. I was visiting him up in New Jersey a couple of months ago, and he turned me on to this beer, and it is really good. It is like sort of hoppy, but they characterize it as like almost like a Hefeweizen. So I don't really understand that because it doesn't taste anything like a Hefeweizen to me.
How much is a six-pack run? Is it expensive?
Like $75. No, a six-pack is like 13 or 14 bucks. It's not a cheap beer. But when you think about it, you're only paying like 50 cents extra beer than an $8 or $9 six-pack, right? So go out and get it. It's really good. And you, sir, are drinking what?
I'm
you're feeling better? You're able to drink beer?
Oh, yes.
Now?
Yeah, I am 100% back now. I was sick for many, many days not drinking, but I was drinking last night and now back again tonight. I am still on the Magic Hat train because of the sampler that friend of the show, Essay, brought over. I'm now trying the Ticket to Rye. It's an IPA on tour, as I like to say, and it's 7.1%. So it is. It packs a punch. It's dry. I would have to say it's a dry IPA.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with rye beers, but I've seen them in the store, and I've just never gotten it. But if you like it, is it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's just like I said. I don't know. It's like I drink it, and I feel thirsty after taking a sip. I don't know.
Well, I really like the taste of this Lagunitas, but it is also over 7%. So by the end of this podcast, we should be both of us should be doing great.
We should be doing great. So a lot has been going on. I believe the last time we did a show was before the regular season.
We basically did a preview show.
Yeah, so we are fully in. We are seeing, in my opinion, this is when you start seeing what your team has. Teams are settling in. Pitchers are finally settling in. Hitters are understanding what they have to do, and we're seeing what we have.
Yeah, it's early. It's basically the first week of an NFL season, if you want to compare that. Maybe towards the end of the first week. It's early, but you're seeing what this team can do and what, I guess, some of their weaknesses are as well, right?
Right, exactly. So where would you like to start tonight?
Well, let's start with, on the website, I've been talking a lot about the pitching.
Yes.
And it hadn't been pretty. Man. It hadn't been pretty at all. And up till yesterday, they were 12th out of now 15, not 16 teams in the NL in terms of runs per game.
Can we go into that real fast, though? How do you feel about every series a interleague play game?
I don't know if this is because I'm an old man now, but I don't like it.
I hate it as well.
I liked the wild card when it came around. I liked interleague play when it came around. Right. And now that interleague play is like a thing all the time, it's like nothing.
It takes
away
from it, right?
Yeah. And so
that's my problem.
I don't know. Maybe, you know what, if the end game of this is 2 or 3 years and then there's two more teams and you have 16 in each league and they do realignment or whatever.
Right.
I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't mind that. I think 32 is a good number.
I agree with you as
so,
well. I think there needs to be something special about it, and that's what it was before to me. It was like when you had interleague play, it was like special because you're seeing hitters are seeing pitchers they don't usually see, and now if they're seeing it like all the time, it sort of takes.
Yeah, I mean, they don't, you know, name a team in the AL, whether it's, I don't know, the Oakland A's. The Nats might only see them once a year.
True.
But it's still like, it takes away some of the sort of fun about it. So,
right,
yeah.
There also used to be where, I believe it was like, you always knew there was like a weekend they would call it like interleague play weekend. But now,
right, everybody
like,
was doing it,
right.
Yep.
Now you just look on the schedule and there's a team playing tonight.
And plus, from like the standpoint of who you pay attention to, now I tend to pay attention to the whole league, but like I know there's a lot of Nats fans who don't even know the AL exists and don't care about the AL, and
right.
And a lot of them that think it's dumb because they use the DH and stuff like that, you know. And now it's like it's almost like too much because you have to really sort of pay a lot more attention to the AL, and not everybody's going to want to do it. So instead of people paying more attention to the AL, they're just going to play teams where they just don't know any of the players they're playing. And that's going to maybe make people not as interested.
Correct. I agree. So tell me about this pitching. What do you have to say about it?
Well, first of all, the bullpen's been bad, but it's hard to look at bullpen numbers even like
this
through
early.
The end of May because right. They pitch so few innings. Like, a guy goes in for five appearances, is perfect in five of them. If in the sixth he gives up two runs and he goes an inning each time, suddenly his ERA is 4.5.
Right.
That's five perfect appearances, one two-run appearance, and his ERA is 4.5.
Well, just to put it in perspective, too, of all the people in our bullpen, the most innings is by Craig Stamen at 10.2 innings.
So yeah.
There you go. That's not a big sample size at all.
Right. Now, the starting pitching... Again, it's hard to look at the numbers this early, but they haven't looked good. Strasburg, Gio, and Heron have looked bad. Detweiler's been awesome, and Zimmerman's been awesome.
But do you think Strasburg? The record does not show he's been good, hasn't been good. But like when I've seen him pitch, it's really that he hasn't had the offense behind him, though.
Right. So, well, one of the things I did was I actually looked at PitchFX, which is like this awesome tool that basically you can look at, you know, where the balls went and all that stuff.
Oh,
but
wow. Yeah.
What I used it for was actually to look at, well, first of all, I'll start with Gio. Buster only tweeted something that basically said his velocity has been down. So I looked at pitch effects and saw like where his velocity was. And it turns out he averaged, his four-seam fastball averaged 94 miles an hour last year. Okay. And on PitchFX, it said that in game one, he went 92. In game two, he hit 94 as an average. Oh, and in game three, he was back down under 93.
Interesting.
Now, in game four, he also was around that 93 mark. So he doesn't have the same zip on his fastball. Now, it's only a mile an hour or two, but that is, you know, enough to make a difference.
Right.
Whether or not – I don't think it's enough to make him not a good pitcher anymore, but if you're used to throwing at a certain velocity and then you throw less, you have to adjust to that.
Right.
So the couple of things I thought was, well, first of all, it's possible that he's hurt, but I don't think he is. Right. I really don't think Gio's hurt. It's possible that he's starting late this year, just not doing as well this year. Maybe
that's
it has maybe it has something to do with the World Baseball Classic that it messed up his, training regimen.
Right.
I looked back. This was the cool thing about Pitch Effects. I was able to the site, by the way, is called Brooks Baseball.
Okay.
.net. It's free. It's a free site, and they have all the Pitch Effects on there. So like every game for the last however many years, 10 years, 20 years, I don't know how far back it goes. You can look up any pitcher, any game, and it's really cool. It's just a cool thing. I recommend everybody go check it out. Like if you look at like Gio's player card, it tells you his career with four pitches, a four seam fastball, a sinker, which is really a two seam fastball for him. It's not on Gio. It's not really a true sinker, but they label it as such. His curve and his changeup. And it tells you, like, over his career, he throws the four-seamer 40% of the time, the two-seamer 26%, the curveball 26%, and the changeup 8%.
Oh, it wow. Tells yeah, you the, I'm looking at this, and this is unbelievable.
It tells you the velocity. It tells you the horizontal movement average, the vertical movement average, and, like, all kinds of stuff. I mean, I haven't even begun to dig into all the stuff you can use it for, but... Right. One of the things that I really like about it, and some of the charts, like, I don't even know how to read yet, but one of the things that I like about it is if you scroll down about halfway, you can there's this thing called individual game logs, and you can pick any game that he's pitched in.
Wow.
And click on it and select it, and it'll tell you what he did in that
Holy
game.
Holy cow, and it's his entire career.
Yeah, for his entire career because he's young.
Wow.
Enough. And so you can see what his four-seamer did in those games. So I started with Gio. One of the things that I found was interesting was I actually looked back annually, and Gio's – so in 2009, I went back 4 years because that's kind of how long he's been pitching as a full-time pitcher.
Right.
In 2009, his four-seamer averaged 92.7 miles an hour. In 2010, it was 92.8. In 2011, it was 93.5, and last year it was 94. And so the fact that it's been down this year could just be – sort of the random blips in the year, or it could be that, like, as he got older, his fastball speed went up, and now he's getting older. He's 27-ish, 26-ish, something like that. Let me check. I'm not sure his exact age. He is 27 this year. So maybe he sort of peaked in terms of velocity last year.
Right.
I'm sure, you know, you think of the great fastball pitchers. I don't know. Pick a name, Roger Clemens. I'm sure his fastball – well, maybe Clemens is a bad example. Nolan's fastball wasn't as fast when he was 35 as it was when he was 30 or 32 as it was when he was 28. It doesn't worry me if that's what's going on. You think, oh, I'd love Gio to have a 94-mile-an-hour fastball. But if it settles in at 93 for the next couple of years, that's probably okay too.
Right.
But the other thing that's good is he's actually pitching tonight, and I took a look, and he's throwing a lot of 94s. So. I'll be curious to see what Brooks Baseball and Pitch Effects puts it at, because this is on the MLB.tv, you know, the MLB.com website that says that a lot of his strikes are 93 or 94. So if he's averaging almost 94, then maybe his velocity is back. And it was just a thing at the start of the year.
Right.
Who knows? Now, the other thing, so that's the Gio side of things.
Okay.
And Gio had a really bad couple games, but, you know, tonight, as we're talking, he's pitching quite well. He had a no-hitter through, like, four innings, struck out a bunch of guys.
And the strikeouts are there, too. I mean,
right.
He's second on the team in strikeouts, so I'm not that worried. It's just, yeah, like you said, and I'm thinking myself, and I'm sure you agree, that it's just maybe he's just a little bit slow to start this year.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now, Strasburg, I also took a look at with Pitch Effects, and this is all on the website, but one of the things that I thought was interesting was he used his curveball a lot less in a couple of the games early on than his changeup, and that's sort of the opposite of what he does. And so I went through all this stuff. I actually put two entries on the website, talked about his splits against lefties, because I was thinking, well, you know, we learn when we're little that a righty throwing a curveball to a righty works well, but to a lefty it doesn't work as well.
Right.
So I was like, well, maybe he faced a lot of lefties, but I sort of eliminated that. And it really just looked like he threw more curveballs than he usually does, or more changeups than he usually does. And I didn't really have a real explanation for it. I mean, on the Pitch Effects site, it said that it moved – his curveball was moving, like, instead of 6.5 inches, it was moving 9 inches. So – Is that a sign that he didn't have, it was breaking too much, he didn't have control of it? I don't know. I mean, that may be a little too in-depth to look at one game, because those kind of things can vary from game to game.
Right.
But I actually talked to the guy, you know, I tweeted with the guy who works for, he does the Brooks Baseball website, and he works for Baseball Prospectus, Harry, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong, it's like Avlitis.
Right.
Who is actually, if you don't follow him on Twitter, it's Harry Pav, H-A-R-R-Y-P-A-V. He does the pitch effect stuff. He works for Baseball Prospectus, but he's also this year partially doing a part-time blogger for the Washington Post. So he's going to be writing about the Nats a lot this year.
Nice.
So I definitely recommend following him on Twitter, H-A-R-R-Y-P-A-V. But he was really nice, and he gave me like a bunch of data and sort of like, you know, looked through it. And my basic conclusion was we don't know, but it looked basically like Strasburg was uncomfortable with his curveball the first couple games this year.
Right.
Maybe that was the cold weather? What do you think? I mean,
I don't know, because I've seen him pitch this year, and I really haven't been that worried. It's like I said, it's been the offense that has not produced behind him.
Well, the last couple games, he's looked a lot better.
Yeah.
Couple games.
I believe it was two games ago, because he pitched, was it yesterday he pitched? Yeah, he pitched yesterday. Yeah. And the game before that, he looked really strong.
And yesterday's game, Wednesday's game, he gave up a bunch of runs in the first inning, but... Right.
And then he settled in.
You know,
and that's another thing. He's been giving up runs early. That's the thing I don't get.
Well, the thing that bothered me about that game is he didn't give up any hard hits in the first inning. He walked a bunch of guys and gave up a couple bloopers. But, like, the first blooper turned into a double. And so if you have a bloop double and then you start trying to be too fine and not just, you know, oh, I have to get this guy who's on second with no outs out. And you're trying to paint the black, and then you walk two guys. Another bloop that's not really a good hit scores him. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think he pitched pretty well.
Yeah.
He was just – he wasn't trusting his stuff is the best way I could describe it in the first inning. And he, you know, ended up the rest of the game throwing strikes, not walking people, and they couldn't hit it. You know, the thing that's great about him is when he throws strikes, it's still hard to hit him.
Right.
And so he needs to, you know, I think the problem was really he wasn't trusting his stuff. He needs to start throwing it down the middle and let them hit it.
See, but that's another thing. And, I mean, we can get into this is that usually those pitchers that are throwing strikes don't have to worry because we have this, like, ridiculous defense behind us. But
that's another thing. Unless you're giving up home runs, like, this is a really good defense. It's rangy in the infield and the outfield.
Right.
And – you know, maybe the pitchers have a little bit of doubt after how poorly it's played
right
early on in the year. But look, I've said this on Twitter. This isn't football. This isn't basketball. They don't play team defense.
Right.
They don't get inspired or uninspired by a defensive captain. Like, these are individuals, and all of them, to a man, are strong defensive players. And so, you know, they may be making an error here or there, but they're still really good defenders. And so, I don't know. I find it hard to think that they're going to be a bad defensive team throughout the year.
Right.
They're just too talented.
And could you also say that maybe the teams they're playing have gotten better this year as well? And that's why when we did our predictions and I was already saying, what did I say, like 101 wins, now that I've seen how good, like, the Mets are this year and how ridiculous the Braves are, I'm thinking that of hitting 100 is almost impossible now.
I think the Mets are better.
Yeah.
I don't think the Braves are that much better. I think I think at the beginning of the year, everybody kind of said, well, it looks like the Braves and the Nats are both sort of 95-win teams, give or take. And a 95-win team at the end of the year is going to finish anywhere with 90 to 100 wins. So, I mean, the Braves have played really well this year.
They have.
I don't think – I could be wrong. I don't think Paul Mahalom or Mike Minor are this good.
No, not at all. And when he played us, Mahalom, he looked like a Cy Young winner that game that he pitched against us.
Right. Chris Medlin may very well be this good.
Yeah.
But awesome. I don't think Minor or Mahalom are. No, and, like, I don't think Minor's bad, but – I don't know. Paul Mahalom has like a career ERA over 4.
Right, exactly.
And so you know, he's going to have a good year for them, I guess, because he had a great April. But I'd be surprised if he has like an ERA. Obviously, he has like a one ERA right now. That's not going to happen all year. But right. I'd be surprised if it's two in another month, you know?
Right.
It's going to go over that. And so some things are going to start breaking for them the other way.
Right.
Just like things are going to start breaking for the Nats.
Now, we've talked about Steven and Gio, and I also want to talk. I want to talk about the two bright spots, in my opinion, of Jordan and Ross.
Yes,
and
they have been great.
But before we talk about them, let's talk about the, in my opinion, the odd man out right now.
Yeah,
and that's Dan Haren. And
yeah, yeah.
Are you worried, or is this usual? Is this a Dan Haren slow start usual type of thing?
Like, I don't think so. I think he's been bad. Now that doesn't mean he won't improve.
He looks bad.
He does. He does look bad. And he looked, you know, the last game, people were saying, oh, he's improved, but not by much. You know, he's given up too many hard hits. He's not walking a ton of people, and he's still striking out a good amount of guys.
Right.
But he's given up some hard hits. So I don't know what's going on.
I'm worried because the comparison for me is that, is this an upgrade from Edwin Jackson? And
I mean, so far it's not.
It's
although
not,
I don't think
that's
I don't think Edwin Jackson's having a good year. And one of the things about Edwin Jackson is there's a reason he travels from team to team, is that he's up and down. He's good and bad. And even last year, his ERA was over four. He had a below league average ERA last year for the Nats. Hmm. Like, we think of him and we're like, oh, he was strong. He was a strong fifth starter, but he had a below league average ERA.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. If Haren is truly bad,
right,
they can probably bring up Chris Young, who's in their, you know, minor leagues,
right,
or somebody else in the minors. And if they're really stuck come July without a fifth starter, they can see about trading somebody. I mean, they're not going to trade anybody good away. But there's going to be a team out there, you know. We're watching the Reds play right now. Obviously, the Reds are going to be in it. But a team like the Reds, if they weren't in it, might want to trade away a guy like Bronson Arroyo for nothing, you know, if they were out of it. Obviously, I don't think the Reds are going to be out of it. But I'm not that worried because he's the fifth starter and, frankly, because the fourth starter looks so good.
Yes.
Because Detweiler looks good.
Let's talk about them.
Well, Zimmerman and Detweiler look good, and you know Gio and Strasburg are good, even if they haven't pitched great yet. And so the coming into the season, you knew there were going to be three good pitchers.
Yeah.
And you didn't know about four and five, but so far, four still looks really good.
I just am amazed that the two guys that are really performing are the guys that there's really nothing that special about what they're doing. It's just they're throwing strikes and they're placing the ball in the right place and they're relying on our defense to basically bail them out every time.
Yeah, and they talk about it with Detweiler all the time. He basically just throws fastballs.
Yeah,
and he knows he can locate it though. And if you move it around the plate, if you change guys' eye levels, if you throw it inside and outside, fastballs are, you know, you can throw them 90% of the time.
Yeah, he has really, really impressed me. I mean, the guy, he's pitching right now like a number two, number three starter on a team right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know that it'll last the way. It's like we talked about the Braves. Like, I don't think he's going to have an ERA under 1.5 all year.
Right.
But, like, he looks like a quality starting pitcher.
He does. He really does. And he's giving them innings.
Yeah.
He's not walking guys.
To get that out of your number four guy is amazing.
Amazing, yeah. And Jordan Zimmerman, the same thing. I mean, Jordan Zimmerman, I don't know if you have the breakdown of that, but it seems to me that Jordan Zimmerman is getting the most run support because every time I feel like he's pitching, we score like tons of runs now.
Yeah. Let me look. We can look at what he's done this year so far. He's won 6-1, 5-2, 10-3, and then they lost 0-2 when he pitched.
So every time is over five runs?
Except for the one loss where he only
– loss.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, he's been good, and he's gotten run support, which is different because last year he wasn't getting any run support.
And how do you feel about our new closer situation?
You know, the bullpen, it's been so long since they've come in with the lead that I don't even remember what it's like.
I know, right? It was like the beginning of the season. It was just like, untuck that thing every day.
Well, yeah, I mean, I like Soriano. He's had some rough moments, but right. I think he's a good.
I'm totally confident. I think Tyler Clippard, once again, has just picked up where he was before.
Yeah, Clippard's great. Storn's, you know, Storn's not perfect, but he's a very strong reliever.
Henry Rodriguez has done pretty well this year, I thought, too.
How about Craig Stammen?
Oh, he is so reliable. It's like, put him in there, and he'll maybe even give you two innings, and he'll get the job done, and you don't have to worry, really.
Yeah, he is like, I don't know where it came from, but maybe he just, you know, some guys, they cannot succeed as a starting pitcher.
Right.
And then you throw them in the bullpen, and they just go out, and they throw as hard as they can every time. They don't, you know, they use all their pitches. They're not worried about getting through the lineup three times.
Right, exactly.
And so some guys can just do it better that way.
And I believe it was maybe two games ago or maybe three when Zach Duke came in, and he looked unbelievable the other day.
Yeah, I had my doubts about
it. Yeah, I had my doubts, but he did look good the other day. He was just striking guys out.
I guess maybe he'd be the next guy in line over after Heron, yeah, instead of, you know, I said Chris Young, but maybe it'd be Duke. I don't know. But I do have something. I actually wrote in the blog earlier this week that the real fault of this team so far has been the pitching staff.
Right.
Because, you know, this time, even late May last year, we were kind of – we didn't know that this team was a playoff team because we were like, they really can't score runs that well, but they were just pitching lights out. And the difference this year is that they haven't pitched lights out. As I said, they were like – they're like 12th in the league in runs allowed. But that was before the last three games where the offense just didn't show up. So the offense is at fault too. I got to blame the offense. You know, before I was like, you know, the offense is just doing what it was doing last year, but it's dropped down. And to be honest, you know, they were like 10-6 and now they're 10-11. And a lot of that had to do with both.
Right.
But I have faith. First of all, because some of that pitching issue came from Gio and Strasburg, I'm much less worried about it. The hitting will come around, too. These guys are good hitters.
Well, let's get into the hitting.
Yeah, let's do that.
First, before we get into the hitting, how do you feel about this year is now – it's everywhere. OPS is now pretty much the stat of the year, I think.
I like that. I like that, like, Masson will show on-base percentage when a guy gets up. Uh-huh. It's just like – I don't know. It's like you're speaking a language that I understand.
Right.
I like batting it. You know, there are some people that are into, like, stats and sabermetrics. It's like batting average is worthless, but I don't think it's worthless.
No.
But it's everything is in context. Like, it's if somebody has a 250 average and a 350 on base or a 250 average and a 300 on base, you really think differently about those hitters.
Yep, totally. But
also if somebody has if two guys have a 350 on base, but one of them bats 300 and one of them bats 250. You also think differently about those guys. So I think all the stats are, you know, it's nice to see that stuff, and they're sort of embracing.
Yeah, they really are embracing him. They've been making a big deal, the announcers, to talk about, like, this is a new stat, and they explain what it is, and I'm pretty excited about
that. A new stat. Yeah.
Well, that's what they're calling it, you know, and that a new stat that people have, the average baseball fan hasn't noticed at all, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. So, obviously, I mean, the MVP of the team so far, obviously, Bryce.
He's just been incredible.
We both knew that this guy was special, but I had no idea that – I mean, everyone always talks about the sophomore slump and all that, but he has just come in and has just – I don't know. It's like I've never seen someone with this type of bat speed before.
Well, the funny thing is – last year, everybody was getting excited after, like, what Trout did. They were like, oh, Harper's going to be 20 next year. He's going to be just as good as Trout. You know, I think you and I were both like, look, that's a little bit of an expectation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Trout was crazy good last year, and Harper has more power, and Trout stole a bunch of bases. But,
right. You
know, Trout hit, like, I don't even know. He hit, like, 320, 330 last year.
Somewhere
and he hit – and I think he hit 30 home runs.
Right.
And so my take was like, look, I don't see Harper's going to hit 320. But if Harper hit 300 and hit 30 home runs. Like, obviously, he's not going to steal 50 bases like Trout did, but that would still be awesome. But right now, what he's doing, at least for the first month of the season, it's just as good, if not better, than what Trout did. Now, he's not going to hit 350 all year, but, like, when you start out hitting 350, maybe you do end the season hitting 320, 330. And then suddenly you do talk about, like, oh, he's going to have as good of a season as Trout did.
Well, let's also talk about how not only is he hitting, but he's taking walks, which is, in my opinion, that's a sign of an incredible hitter.
He's got such a good approach at the plate. And the thing about Harper is, like, I don't think he's ever going to win a batting title. I really don't think he's that kind of hitter.
Well,
but I think he can easily have a 400. He can go 10 years with having an on-base percentage over 400.
Jeez, that is unbelievable.
Which is rare, but, you know, I think there's going to be years where he only hits 275, and he's still going to have an on-base over 400 because he's so good at going, that pitch is not a pitch I should hit.
Wow.
That pitch is outside or whatever. And so, you know, I'm amazed that he's already on pace to hit as many home runs as he's going to.
Right. He won tonight already.
Yeah, and, you know, he's up to, like, 8 now. Right. So, you know, is he going to hit 50? I doubt it. Nobody does that anymore. But right. I think he can, you know, even in the off season where you're trying to, like, think, oh, what's going to happen? Really? Did you think, like, 30 was a guarantee? Because people don't do that much anymore.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's like 30, you're, like, amazed. It's usually, like, you know, the 15 to 23 is the usual.
Yeah, I mean, last year there were maybe like 15 guys that hit over 30 home runs. Mm-hmm. And that's like in the whole league. And so you're like, I could see him doing that in a couple of years when he really knows the pitchers and he's really good, but maybe not when he's 20. But you're already like, huh, maybe he could do it when he's 20.
Right.
And some of those guys are like Adam Dunn and Jay Bruce that, like, yeah, they hit a ton of home runs, but they also hit like 240 some years and they walk, but because their batting average is so low, they're not, like, consistently 400 on base.
Right.
But Harper's going to do it while hitting, you know, close to 300, if not more.
Wow. And batting in that third spot is just perfect for him, I think.
Well, so Worth hasn't been great yet, I think, for whatever reason, but I really like the way the lineup sets up. Span, by the way, we got to talk about Span.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it.
Span has been great.
He's been great, and he's been reaping the benefits of having Bryce hit after him.
Well, Span's got, like, a, you know, over 350 on base, and every other stat he has, I don't care about. All I care about is his on base, and maybe his caught stealing. I don't want him to get caught stealing, but, like, this team doesn't run enough for me to think that Span's going to steal 50.
Right.
But, like, I think he takes a lot of pitches, which is, you know, I knew he had a high on base, but I didn't watch him play.
Right. I don't think I've seen him in one game swing at the first pitch ever.
And I love that. So,
I love it. Yeah. Isn't that what a leadoff guy's supposed to do? Is supposed to show as many pitches as possible?
So, you know what I was thinking about? We talked about this before the season, and we were trying to think of a lineup that's comparable to this. And
right.
I don't want to get too excited because, frankly, their play has sucked so far this
year. Yes.
But the teams, you know, I was trying to think, and I was like, well, maybe the Cardinals teams the last few years that doesn't have a star but has a lot of guys with decent on-base and decent power. And you were like, well, I think more of like the mid-2000 Yankees.
Yep.
And at first I was like, no, because, you know, they had so much money and star power. They had, like, the Giambi and A-Rod when he was just spectacular, and Jeter and Hideki Matsui and Jorge Posada, like, all those guys. And, you know, in terms of star power and name recognition and all that, the Nats don't have that. But one thing that made that team so great, there are two things that the Nats lineup has that team had, which drove pitchers crazy.
And that is?
One of it was that they all took pitches. And, like, other than Ian Desmond, this is a really patient lineup.
True.
And I don't want Ian Desmond to be patient because I don't think that's what he's good at.
Yeah, he's not that guy.
You know, you want guys to walk a lot. You want guys to be patient. But, like, you don't want guys to play to their weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so I'm fine with him, you know, barely walking. If he's going to hit over 275 with power, he doesn't need to walk very much.
Yep.
Maybe more than the two he's had so far this year, but they'll come. But it's a combination of the patience. So, like, pitchers wear down if you're having a decent game. Now, if you're having the game that's games that they had this week where nobody's getting on base, it doesn't matter how many pitches you take.
Right.
You know, you can do. I think the best players in the league are over four pitches, but not five. But even if you do five pitches an inning, if you're getting outs, that's only 15 pitches for the pitcher in an inning. You have to get on base. You have to get the hits. You have to make them face more than one guy in it.
Oh, my. Sorry.
You thought Harper hit one out.
I just did. Sorry. It's a beautiful swing.
You were fooled.
He's just that bat speed that he has. Oh, he broke it. Oh, my God. Did you see that?
No, he broke his bat on the swing, which is why it didn't go out. And then he just broke off a little piece of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think it's the combination of the patience, which – when they're doing well, is going to drive pitchers crazy, and it's going to make them leave early. And the power, the other thing that Yankees team had, they conceivably had, like, every year seven or eight guys with 20 home runs or more, and that's what the Nats have.
Right.
And when you combine Suzuki and Ramos, they're going to have 20 home runs. When you talk about...
Can you believe this, that we have, like, at just the catcher position is unbelievable on our team?
Well, you know, Suzuki probably isn't this good. Ramos may be just about this good. I mean, he was a top five prospect in the Twins organization when we got him for what? For not that good closer.
Right.
What a steal. But, yeah, I mean, other than Span, who isn't going to hit any home runs,
right?
You're going to have – you have seven guys in the lineup that could conceivably hit 20. Like, I don't
Good
see
– wow.
You know, Desmond may end up with not quite 20. I think he will.
Oh, I think he will. He seems like he's picked up where he left off last year.
You know, maybe Espinoza will only have 15 or 18, but he could easily get to 22. And then Worth, Harper – Zimmerman, LaRoche, all those guys, 20-plus home runs. So it's a patient and power lineup.
Right.
The problem with that is the days that, you know, they don't have a lot of guys that are going to hit 350. So, I mean, not that any team does, but
right.
I don't know. The last few days, it's been tough to watch because their patience hasn't paid off and they haven't hit with power. But
it'll come.
Exactly.
Speaking of Ryan Zimmerman. Now, I sent you a text, I believe. It was like the second game, third game of the season where I was like, is Zimmerman hurt? Because he looks strange. And you were like, no, he always throws like that. Don't worry about it. And then as the weeks went on, we start seeing Zimmerman causing errors. I believe now, how many errors does he have?
All right, so here's what, first of all, there's like, you know, if you're on Twitter or whatever, or follow all the Nats blogs, there's like panic in Nats town about Ryan.
It is. I mean, he's Mr. Washington. He's the face of the franchise.
So first of all, Ryan Zimmerman has four errors.
Wow, which is crazy to me this early.
He doesn't have 40 errors, though. It's four errors
right.
in a small sample size, right?
Right.
And so obviously if he comes back and in another 15 games has four more errors, you start going, boy, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But how many errors can Ryan Zimmerman commit in a year where you start to care? Because if he has 15 or even 20 throughout the whole year, that's fine. You know, like
fine.
the best, very best third baseman playing a full season will probably have a dozen, right?
Right.
So then you're talking about, like, if he has 20, eight more errors than the very best third baseman. And he has a really big range. So, like, he's getting to more plays than a lot of other third basemen.
Mm-hmm.
And if he commits an extra error a month, so eight errors, let's say it's an error and a half a month, his bat more than makes up for that. You know, there's a lot of talk about, well, he's going to move to first base.
Right.
Like, I don't want that to happen anytime soon because Ryan Zimmerman is a top five third baseman in terms of his bat.
Yep.
He's top 15-ish, maybe in the 15 to 20 range in terms of first baseman. Mm-hmm. He's not a bad first baseman, but he's not an all-star first baseman.
Right.
And the comparison I made on the website was that I remember when I lived in New York, people would look at the Yankees' first base situation when it was like Doug Minkiewicz and like, I don't even remember who else.
Kevin Moss? No, that's
who's the guy that was on the Tigers.
Oh, Tony Clark.
Yeah, Tony Clark.
Right.
And they would be like, well, those guys are good defensive first basemen, so it doesn't really matter that they can't hit that well because we have Jeter at shortstop.
Right.
And there was a guy who writes for Baseball Prospectus right now that I really liked reading his stuff, and he wrote a lot about the Yankees. And he was like, what you're missing the point of is having Jeter at shortstop doesn't mean you can then have a crappy hitting first baseman.
Right.
You totally lose the advantage of having Jeter at shortstop if you have a bad hitting first baseman. The point of having Jeter at shortstop is then you get a good hitting first baseman and you go, we're the same at first base than you are, and we're much better at shortstop than you are. And so that's my worry about Zimmerman moving to first. I'm sure it will have to happen eventually, but I'm not in a rush for that to happen. And, you know, the argument of him getting hurt a lot is one that I could see as a possibility. If playing third base is going to make him play 120 games a year, if playing third base is going to make him play 120 games a year and playing first is going to make him play 150, okay, then we'll talk.
Right.
But if it's to cut down on your third baseman making, you know, it's to cut down 7 errors from third base or 10 errors from third base, I don't think it's worth it.
Right. I agree.
Now, if he comes back and he cannot make that throw, that's a different discussion.
Right.
But if this is really a mental thing that he just needs to get over, and it's not that his shoulder's broken, if it's not that he's totally gone mentally and he'll never be able to make that throw again, I want him playing third base.
Right.
I don't know. What's your opinion?
I mean, I agree the same thing. Right now, I mean, we've seen right now that we brought up the kid, and we can talk about him, Anthony Rendon, and he is not even in the same, in my opinion, ballpark as Ryan Zimmerman.
Right. So the thing about Rendon is like he's a good hitter. He's right. Gonna be a good hitter.
He's gonna be, but not anytime soon.
He has 200 professional at bats.
Right.
That's not major league. That's professional. Right. That's nothing. Yeah. Only guys like Bryce Harper can do that and succeed in major leagues.
Right.
And like Rendon is a top prospect. Top prospect, but Harper is one of, you know, we forget that he was a generational prospect. He was once in a generation. You know, that's what people saw him as. So, like, you can't expect that from even your best prospects. Rendon needs probably another year in Syracuse or in Double A, and then maybe another year in Syracuse before he's going to be consistently good. He's so young. And even when he's going to be good, Rendon is not a 30 home run hitter.
No way. Yeah.
He's a line drive hitter.
Yep.
He'll hit in a good year 20 home runs.
Right.
And, you know, there's a chance that he could consistently hit over 300. He could be a very good hitter. He could be a very good third baseman. But assuming that Zimmerman can handle this throwing issue to a point where it doesn't become a major problem, Zimmerman's a better player.
Oh, hands down. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, he's a top five third baseman. And will Rendon ever be a top five third baseman in the National League? I don't know.
I think he has the opportunity to be that in a year, you know, in a couple of years in his career.
Okay.
He could be an all-star. But yeah,
a great article, and I highly recommend everyone go check it out. It's called Are Zim's Errors That Bad? It was posted, I believe, yesterday. And you should check it out on the site at nationalsreview.com.
Yes, and it basically goes over some of the third basemen that you're familiar with that have played. So Zim's, you know, it all started because Tom Lavero, who is on ESPN 980, and he used to write for the Washington Times, and now he writes for, I think, the Washington Examiner. Mm-hmm. I really like him. He knows baseball. I think he's a really smart guy. I like listening to him talk about baseball. Mm-hmm. I like what he has to write. And he wrote an article saying, you know, basically that Zimmerman's got to move to first. I disagree, which is fine. I mean, I don't disrespect Lavero. I like reading him. But the reason I disagree is the stuff that I said. And one of the things he wrote in the article was, like, Zimmerman's made X number of errors in his time with the Nats, mm-hmm. in his 950 games or whatever with the Nats.
Right.
And that annoyed me because I was like, first of all, are you making the case that he's made a lot of errors over his career? Because it's just not true. And then I went back and I looked at some other guys in similar age ranges.
Yeah,
and
I love this that you brought
they made over the career. Now, the argument that his last month has been awful, mm-hmm. and even go back to like September or August, fine, I can buy that argument. I don't think the jury's out on it. I don't think we can make a conclusion on that yet. That's a different argument. But even throughout all of 2012, he committed 19 errors. So, like, when, you know, whatever, Aramis Ramirez and Adrian Beltre are maybe guys that you think of similarly in terms of, like, their bats and their fielding, commit 12 errors and he commits 19, well, that's not a reason to move him. That's seven errors different.
Not at all.
Over the course of an entire year.
Right.
It's a little more than an error a month. So that's just my take. I mean, obviously the jury's out, and he's coming back next week. And if he fields ground balls and can't make the throw, that's a different story. If he truly can't make the throw anymore, that's fine. Then you have to do something about it. But I don't think that that's been concluded yet. I think the jury's still out on that.
I agree with that too. Is there any concern for the Ian Desmond still at shortstop, or are we just going to have to deal with that and just hope his bat outweighs the errors?
I think his numbers look bad, but he committed three errors in two games at the very beginning of the season.
Yeah.
And then he's been pretty good since then, and he's got a lot of range, and he's got a cannon for an arm.
Oh, yeah, he's got a cannon for an arm. It's just that I don't know what it is. It's just sometimes he just doesn't get in front of the ball. And like, dude,
yeah,
what
I mean,
to do? He just tries to hot dog it almost in a way.
I think we're just at that point in the season where the numbers jump out at you. And after we talk about Desmond, remind me, because we'll talk about something else about that.
Okay.
But he has seven errors right now, and three of them were right around the same time.
Right.
And so he had a bad first week. And since then, you know, he hasn't been great, but he's been pretty good. And I'm just not worried. I think even if he commits a good amount of errors, I think he's rangy enough and he's got a good enough arm that you're okay with it as long as he hits, and he's hitting. You know, it's sort of the same story that we were talking about the Yankees before about Jeter. Jeter's bat was so good that, like, Jeter has not been able to move to his left since, like, 2000.
So true.
I mean, he's never been a great range shortstop.
Right.
But he's been a plus for the Yankees because he's been able to hit.
Yep.
And so, you know what? If Desmond's going to hit 275 and hit 25 home runs a year.
Right. And I feel like it's commonplace now that Desmond and errors, like, it just seems like you're going to just get, he's going to get 40 a year. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get that many. I think.
Really? Wow.
I think the team has had a bad month in general.
Well, I believe in that game where you said the two games in a row where he had three, I believe that was also the games where Zimmerman had his errors as well.
Yeah.
It was just a bad, bad game.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at the end of the year, we'll total up his numbers and it'll be higher than – it will look worse than it is because he'll have had a bad couple of weeks.
Right. Now, you were talking about first base and you wrote it – put out an article today that I read that I wanted to highlight. It's called LaRoche Got a LaRoche.
LaRoche Got a LaRoche. He's got to be himself.
Right. And the thing is, I mean, my takeaway from it, it was a great article, but my takeaway of it, and I mean, tell me if you agree, is that this, what we're seeing from him right now, isn't this classic LaRoche?
I mean, you and I are in the same fantasy baseball league.
Right.
I always say, if you played fantasy baseball, you know exactly what LaRoche's MO has been his whole career, which is he sucks early.
He does.
And he's good in the second half of the season.
I mean, and last year was just that anomaly where he was just the freaking all-star.
Well, actually, the two things, I looked through his numbers, and he actually has had two Aprils worse than this.
Wow.
In 2007 and 2008, and both of those years, he finished with numbers
finished
that you'd
great,
be perfectly
yeah.
happy with.
Right, so I'm not worried. But then The only thing, like, that it's in the back of my mind, and we're talking about first base again, is that I really like Tyler Moore at first base. And is that weird to say that?
Well, no. I mean, I still have my doubts that Moore is a full-time first baseman. But the interesting thing about Moore is a righty and LaRoche is a lefty. Mm-hmm. So if LaRoche continues to slump, there's certainly an opportunity. I would have nothing against putting in Moore against any lefties that they see and platooning him for at least a little bit.
Good.
They'll probably want to put LaRoche in next week when Zimmerman comes back, because if he is, you know, thinking through this throwing stuff too much, it's nice to have LaRoche as the guy to receive the throws.
Right. So, yeah, go ahead. Talk about anything else you want to spotlight in that article.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just basically thinking that this is a guy who, for whatever the reason is, whether it's the weather, whether it's allergies, I don't know, he doesn't play great in April.
Nope.
And, you know, call me in June and tell me how he's doing, because it's really hard to does it mean he's done? I doubt it,
yeah.
I think he's just having a typical LaRoche season, and he'll finish with 20 to 30 home runs, and he'll have a 340 to 350 on base or whatever it is, and you just got to deal with it. This is just how he plays every single year except for last year.
Right. And there's only one player I wanted to get your opinion on, and I tell me if you agree with this. I feel like the best thing to have happened to Espinoza is when he got hit on the hand, because ever since that, I feel like he has awakened at the plate now, or awoken at the plate.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I am one of Espinoza's biggest fans. All I like to talk about is how good he did last year after, like, the first week in May.
Right.
He was basically the second or third best hitting second baseman in the NL after May. Or after the first week in May, and then this year. And I figured this year he's going to be great. And he's just sucked until a couple of days ago. And now he's starting to look like
– He looks great. You know,
he's never going to be a 300 hitter.
No.
But he's a guy that has enough – he's got such good plate discipline that he can hit 260. And as long as he's got his power, he's going to get on base enough. He's going to have like a 330, 340 on base. And hit 20 home runs. That's a solid middle infielder.
Yeah.
And so I'm really happy with the last couple of days with him, and I hope that it turns out that he's out of this early slump again. Maybe he's palling around with LaRoche, and he's just an April slumper as well.
Plus, I mean, I love when his glove is in the field, because in my opinion, there's no one out there on the field that has a better glove than him.
I think he's awesome. A shortstop that plays second base. I mean, I really do. And actually, when at the beginning of last year, when nobody knew that Desmond was going to turn into this source of power,
right.
A lot of people, like on sort of the national level, not the Nationals level, but the national level of baseball, were saying that, like, you know, Espinoza is being wasted as a second baseman. He should be a shortstop.
Yeah. I mean, it that argument's always going to be talked about because of the errors that Desmond does.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, Desmond really is sort of the team leader. And I think there's purpose in having him at shortstop. And I think he's a strong fielder, too. And, you know, if the errors really start to become an issue, you can think about moving them. But I don't think you need to at this point yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right.
There's one thing that I did want to point out. We talked about numbers and sample sizes. So the Nats are 10-11 going into tonight's game, although they are winning 6-1, which is nice to see, but I'm not going to try and jinx anything right now. But I just want to say everybody seems to be really worried about this team. Mm-hmm. And I just – the reason that you're worried about them is because it's the beginning of the season and they're 10-11.
Right.
They went 10-11. They went last year. They had runs of four. They went 4-8 mm-hmm. from the end of April to the beginning of May. In May, they had an 11-11 run. In June, they had a 6-9 run.
Wow.
In September, they had a 7-9 run. 10-11 is noticeable because it started at game one.
Right.
That's the only reason it's noticeable. They're gonna go 10-11 at some point later in the season too. And they're going to have enough wins that you're not going to care and not going to notice it.
Right.
So I just, you know, there's a lot of freaking out about a team.
There is a lot of freaking out. That's
that has 140 games left to play.
Yeah, it's so weird that there's a lot of freaking out this early on too.
It's people aren't used to having a team that's supposed to be good around here.
Yeah.
And so you just think, oh, they're supposed to be good, and then they're not. I can't tell you how many times when I lived in New York, the Yankees or the Red Sox started out bad, and there was so much panic, and then they both ended up with like 92 wins.
Right.
It's just teams go on streaks and runs. And this year, the Nats started out decently and then had a really bad streak for a week when they only had, you know, they were something like 10-6, and then they went 10. They lost, I think they lost 5 out of 6.
Right.
So they must have been 9-6. Mm-hmm. And then they won 1 and lost 5. So they went 10-11. It's really, you know, 9-6 doesn't look too bad unless you mm-hmm. compare it to the Braves.
Well, I also look at, like, we have not been swept in a single series this year, right?
We've at least won 1. No, the Cardinals just swept.
Who?
They weren't swept until the Cardinals.
Oh, right, the Cardinals. That's right. So that's what I look at. If you at least are not getting swept, you're doing fine.
Well, you know, the I think that's a good point. The thing that I like to look at is series.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Winning every series, it doesn't matter if you lose a couple games in a row.
Right.
And so win the Cincinnati series. Win the Braves series.
Yeah. Then it's a whole different – your lineup will reflect it.
Yeah.
And right now, the Nats are just – I don't know what's going on
tonight.
We are just hitting.
Even Bernardino finally got a hit.
The Shark.
He had such a bad – he's been so bad this year so far.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that comes in off the bench, so he has all of like 15 at-bats or whatever it is. So. Yeah, Span just hit a triple.
Wow. So is there anything else you want to talk about before we wrap it up?
You know, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't think so. I'm surprised at how much people are worried about the Nats right now. And I think some of it has to do with how good the Braves have been.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. And then also I think it's because of the new pitcher, Harvey, and the Mets and all that, and how the Mets are pretty much overperforming.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Braves are.
Roy Halladay seems to finally realize, hey, I've got to work with what I've got now instead of what I used to have, and now he's pitching good. So people are worried, even though I don't think Philly's going to make the playoffs, but they're playing pretty good lately.
You know what? I like that you bring up Halladay because 2 weeks ago, everybody was talking about how Halladay is done.
Yeah,
he is
done.
No more.
So ridiculous.
Halladay is done like the Nats are done.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Halladay is still going to pitch well. Now, he may not be the Halladay he used to be.
Right.
But, like, he's not a bad pitcher.
No.
The Nats are not a bad team.
No.
They're going to figure it out, and they're going to be very good. And they haven't – you know, people are like, well, maybe they'll dig themselves too much of a hole. They haven't really dug themselves a hole. They're a .500 team right now.
Yeah. Hey, the Washington Capitals say hi. That was a team that was counted completely out, and it was over. And now look at that. They're in the playoffs. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean – and, by the way, congrats to the Caps.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? I mean.
So exciting.
I'm
they
so,
have turned it on. Adam Oates, I mean, possibly a coach of the year now of what he's the turnaround that he's done with them.
Started out 2-8-1.
Yep.
And now they're in the playoffs.
Yep.
And, you know, people talk about the division they're in, and it definitely helps that they got to play teams in their division.
Yeah.
But they'd be in the playoffs whether or not they won that division or not. That's how good. The record. So.
True.
And Ovechkin is quite possibly the MVP. So.
Yeah, he's finally the 2000. I guess what was the last time we saw this? A 2008 Ovechkin is back now. I mean, he looks great again.
You know how much I like numbers. He scored a goal tonight, I believe, and that puts him at 32.
Right. Wow.
In
a shortened season.
In a shortened season. 2 years ago, when he played the full season, he had 32 goals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, You talk about a player that came, that was left for dead, basically. And like, not that he was a bad player, but it was like he's never the player that he'll never be that same player again.
Right.
And now he's great. So, you know, it just puts things in perspective. The Redskins started out like, I don't know, 2-4 or something. Yeah. The Caps started out 2-8. Like, the Nets aren't even doing that bad. They're 500 right now.
Right. They're going to be, well, after tonight's game, they're. Wow, I just realized, do you realize that Gio has pitched a one-hitter tonight, pretty much?
One or two, yeah. One of the hitters did hit it out of the ballpark, but.
Right, well, he is possibly one of the greatest hitters of this generation, so.
He is a, we'll call him a perennial MVP candidate.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Gio, Gio looked great today, and that's good to see because I think despite what happened with the scoreboard and his first inning, Strasburg looked really good for most of that game. And the first inning, I think he really did get a guy on base and then start to nibble around the strike zone and didn't throw his good stuff.
Right.
And after that, he was great. And so it gives me confidence that, look, Gio's got it. Strasburg's got it. Zimmerman and Detweiler already had it. They just got to score a couple runs and they're going to win every game again. So.
I agree. Well, everyone, I want to thank you all for listening to today's episode. And remember, check out thenationalsreview.com. It is totally revamped and new. We haven't been around for a while, but we are going to be back on the bi-weekly schedule. It will
Absolutely.
Happen. Because we need to talk. We've gotten great feedback from everyone. So I want to thank you all for the feedback. And we're also flirting with doing more live shows in the future. We'll let you know if that's the case.
Absolutely.
So
and
just follow us on Twitter. I'm at Culmination and
I'm at Nationals Review. We want your ideas for talking about on the podcast. You know, send me an email at nationalsreview@gmail.com. Check out the website, thenationalsreview.com.
Yeah, and you love when people comment on the stories, and you'll give the feedback. You're great
if
on that.
If you write a comment on the website, I will pretty much answer everything because I'm not here.
You heard it, everyone.
I'm not inundated with comments. Let's just say that I get one or two a posting, maybe.
But they're good conversations. So
no, I love it. Look, I'm writing this blog and doing the podcast because I want to talk about the Nats. I don't do this for a living. I just want to talk to people about baseball.
Right.
So if you have something to say, write it. Send us something on Twitter. We'll talk about it.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll be back in just a couple weeks. And thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Cole.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Sky, come to me, told me all the honey out there. Said, honey, gold jewels.